I'm Lauren Layfield, and you're listening to Your Next Podcast. This is the podcast that brings you a different series every single week, helping you to find your new favorite show. Now, today, we're listening to a show called What Did You Do Yesterday? And really, it does exactly what it says on the tin. Each week, Max Rushton and David O'Doherty ask a famous comedian or a famous face what they did yesterday. They're not interested in the day before that or today, and definitely not tomorrow, just yesterday. Despite the utter simplicity of the format, there is something just genius about this. You get a real cross-section of people's lives and find out just how funny the everyday can be. The first episode features the hilarious comedian and broadcaster Ellis James. So enjoy. This is What Did You Do Yesterday?
Podcasts, there are millions of them.
Some might say too many.
I have one already.
I don't have any, because there are enough.
Politics, business, sport, you name it, there's a podcast about it. And they all ask the big questions and cover the hot topics of the day.
But nobody is covering the most important topic of all.
Why is that? Are they scared?
Too afraid of being censored by the man?
Possibly, but not us. We're here to ask the only question that matters.
We try and say it at the same time, Max.
What did you do yesterday?
What did you do yesterday?
What did you do yesterday? That's it. All we're interested in is what the guest got up to yesterday. Nothing more.
Day before yesterday, Max?
Nope.
The greatest and most interesting day of your life?
Unless it was yesterday, we don't want to know about it. I'm Max Rushton.
And I'm David O'Doherty.
Welcome to What Did You Do Yesterday? Hello, David.
Hey, Max. This is pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, there's huge pressure on these next 2 minutes of our podcasting career because this is the first time that people will hear us together. And people have short attention spans these days. And it's incumbent, I think, on you, because I'm asking you the question, to really sell this podcast now so that, I mean, basically everybody on earth can relate to what we're doing apart from one-day-old babies. And I feel that we are going to change podcasting forever. But I just think you can articulate it better than me as to what people are about to hear.
I think you've just written a big old children in need size check that we will never be able to cash. But I do think there's something in our sort of high performance, world class basics culture that needs this podcast. Because this is a low performance podcast.
Well, you say it's low performance, but in my mind, I believe we'll learn more about humanity from this than in all podcasts combined that have been made to date. I can't think of one good podcast doing the rounds at the moment. And people have been begging me for a long time to get involved in podcasts, and I haven't wanted to. But ever since you approached me and begged me... We should, for the record, say that I did beg you, David, to do this, didn't I?
Yeah, so to the listeners, Max told me about this incredible idea he had for a podcast 2 years ago. And it was very much in the realm of, like, how'd you like these apples? If I were to ever do one, I'm sitting on this golden egg.
Yeah.
So initially, I thought it was just going to be you and the guest, leather chairs, maybe filmed, you know what I mean? Real classic prestige television. And then over time, you did nothing about it. And I would be like, how's the great idea coming along, Max Rushton?
Yeah.
And it's fair to say you did nothing about it whatsoever till I hassled you to do something with it.
Well, I lost quite a significant work contract. And so I really had to get things going. This is not an act of desperation, I'd point out. But I feel like the time felt right, and certainly my mortgage repayments on this small townhouse in Melbourne, they felt right to start delivering a podcast that hopefully will, you know, I'm not in it for the money, David. I'm in it because I enjoy your company. That's the main thing. I don't really know how we ever got to know each other, but I enjoy your company. And I did come up with this idea, which was simply, what did you do yesterday?
Max, there's a glimpse behind the magician's curtain. And then there's seeing the magician's ball bag, big old pendulous ball bag just swaying in the wind. And I feel this intro has utterly ruined the mystique that I was trying to build around this podcast, that it was this labor of love. You have to bring all this mundanity about baby food into it and nappies.
Yeah. Yeah. But there was one review of some work that I think it was during the Soccer AM Glory years, where somebody who wrote a review said they turned the volume down whenever I spoke and turned it up again when Alan spoke. And so the people who want mystique, right, they can just turn it down when I'm on. And then, you know, they get the whimsy from David. And the people who just want the hard facts, the cold, hard facts of this, they can listen to me. And the people who want both will get both. But I think when you think about the podcast that people listen to, you have your people talking about the big things in the world. And this is really micro because, for example, this episode today is perfect for people who want to know what Ellis James did yesterday. That is really... it's perfect for them. But I believe even if you didn't wake up wondering that, I believe you'll get a lot from this. That's what I think.
I mean, I think you're talking this down already because... Oh. There's two ways this could go, okay? Yeah. One, we learn incredible life lessons from these cultural touchstones who, for the first few episodes, happen to be people in my mobile phone numbers.
I have suggested a litany of 90s footballers that have so far been rejected, I would point out. But yes, your contacts book is better than mine, I grant you.
We either learn or... what we do is we get solace in the fact that these people, these megastars, such as Alice, their lives are just like mine. This is absolutely awful stuff. And I think there could be consolation in that. And while you see that as a small, tiny thing, not as important as, you know, this American life, I see it as possibly more important than those things.
But it is important to point out that we have... between us agreed that when this gets big, we won't play stadiums. We won't do that because we have principles.
The merch we do will be of the highest quality. Those What Did You Do Yesterday hoodies will not be made by children in sweatshops. That's for sure.
Well, I totally agree. They'll be made by me and you. Everything is sort of like the good life. This is the good life of podcasts, really.
So, listener, that really exemplifies Max's references. Max is like... do you remember a few years ago, a warrior was defrosted from a glacier?
Oh, right.
And Utsi, I think, was his name. And he was 4,000 years old. He'd gone out hunting in the year 2000 BC. Max is like that, except in 2006. He just received a bang on the head and he's just come around now. I've had to explain to him what a podcast is, and he's going to fill us with references to Top Loader and The Good Life and the glory years of Soccer AM.
We should, for the record, say the first episode we recorded was with Nish Kumar, but it was just too explosive to be our first episode. So look, we will release the Nish Kumar tapes when this podcast is established. But at this stage, the audio is too dangerous, isn't it?
The other thing that I would like the listeners to know in terms of my commitment to this podcast, I have been doing my little comedy concerts and I didn't have much of a voice yesterday. So I've spent the last 24 hours in preparation for this. It was a thing I found on the internet that may turn out to be utterly pointless. I had a sort of a big egg cup and I filled it with salty water. And I then inhaled it like Pablo Escobar. I would draw the salty water up my nose till it shot down the back of my throat. So for a moment, I was effectively waterboarding myself just so I could sound good on the first episode of What Did You Do Yesterday?
And just to show my commitment, David, I'm in this for life.
Really? Is this sort of Blood Brothers in episode one of a podcast that may vanish because no one cares about it after three episodes?
I'm fiercely loyal and I believe in it. You know on Dragon's Den when they go, look, how much of your own money have you invested in this? No, this is a lifestyle business. Well, I'm in it for life. So even if it's just me and no guests. But all we can do, David, is put it out into the world and see how it goes. And I think we should begin now with episode one and Ellis James. Ellis James, welcome to What Did You Do Yesterday? How are you?
Very well.
Yeah.
Although I had a big think about what I did yesterday, and right. It has brought into sharp focus how unexciting my life is.
Well, I don't know what you think, David. I think this is what the Diary of the CEO was always meant to be, this podcast.
Yeah, and because the first one hasn't come out yet, Alice doesn't know that all of the ones we've recorded so far end with the person in tears just smashing their fist on the table, singing, "Life, oh life, oh life."
There has to be more to life than this.
And we've signed an 8-figure sponsorship deal with Desiree as well. Considering she hasn't heard an episode either, but, you know, she's on the list of people we really want.
It's a leap of faith.
I mean, she'd be a great guest, wouldn't she, Desiree? Because if she didn't have a great day, you'd be like, "You're a con man." You.
Alice, what time did you get up at yesterday? No, not get up. What time did you open those eyes?
Alarm set for 7:34 a.m.
Oh, specific.
Should be 7:30, but I'm desperately trying to get over 7 hours of sleep a night. And these are the fine margins that a top athlete like myself is working with.
Okay, so what the alarm goes off, what happens?
General grogginess. You know those people who jump out of bed and are just full of beans and excitement and seem to be ready to go straight away? I've never been one of those.
Me and Max, we got up 1 minute ago, me and Max, and we just start recording straight off the top.
As soon as I wake up, I'm in...
Wallop content.
Podcast, exactly. I press record. Actually, as I wake up, I just press record on the machine and it's just one eternal podcast. That's what it is.
Well, that's your alarm, isn't it? It's the click of your laptop starting to record.
Exactly right. Okay, so you've got the general grogginess from... You described what, 7:34?
7:34.
Yeah.
There was general grogginess until 7:41.
Okay.
When I realised that if I didn't have a shower in the next 10 minutes, I wouldn't be able to shower before doing the school run and the parents would judge me. Mm. I'd actually taken that decision the previous day, so I can't go 2 days. Very, very rare I go 1 day, but I was so tired the day before. So I jumped out of bed and I had a shower. As I was doing that, I was trying to wake up the children. And you know...
So while you're in the shower?
Yeah, screaming from the shower.
As I'm walking to the bathroom.
Right, okay.
So you know how during like a royal wedding or a royal funeral, the British tabloids will say, "This is Britain at its best."
Yeah.
The school run is me at my worst. Because there are aspects of my personality I didn't know existed that I really dislike, and they all come to the fore. To be honest, I should really wake up at about 7:20. I should get the kids up slightly earlier. For us to be at school on time, we have to leave at 8:46.
These timings are so specific.
Yeah, because I'm tired, so I'm pushing everything to the limits.
Okay, I need to step in here. So we've gone from 7:41, which is when you rise. So we've actually lost. There's a lost hour here that you're obviously not telling us about. So something.
The lost hour is me at my worst. The worst thing I do, I shouldn't really blame my children for not getting dressed with military precision. They're too young. My daughter said to me the other day, she said, "What do you want from me in the morning?" And I said, "I want you to be like a soldier who just does what I say when I say it." And she said, "I can't do that. I'm 9. And I said, "Well, you need to do it."
Sounds like, you know, what a young actor who's got Othello says to, you know, Patrick Marber, says, "Look, what do you want from me in the mornings?"
So the thing I do, which I hate myself for, I allow them not quite enough time to eat, not quite enough time to get dressed, not quite enough time to brush their teeth. And if there's any delay, I will say, "We're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory here." And that has now become, "We're snatching defeat, we're snatching defeat, we're snatching defeat." So yesterday, because Izzy's filming something in Yorkshire, I was on my own. So... It's harder then because there's no one to help. So she's away. There was a sort of "we're snatching defeat" vibe. I started saying that at about 8:10, and that's right. Too early.
Too early, for goodness sake.
It puts a lot of pressure on the children. You're like, "My son is 5. He's in reception."
So you are staring at him as he eats some Frosties, basically with a stopwatch.
Giving him
this calm, motivational bullshit.
Yeah.
Like Ant Middleton. Do you want to quit? Do you want to quit? Hang on. Have you got dressed, Ellis, by this time?
Yes.
Okay.
If we're going for the spirit of full disclosure...
Please.
Just pants, because I roll on deodorant, and if I put the t-shirt on too quickly, it becomes sticky and weird.
Yeah,
so it's just pants as I'm walking around, clapping my hands and saying, we're snatching defeat, we're snatching defeat.
Okay.
Yeah, bare-chested.
Bare-chested.
Just with the stopwatch around the neck. You maybe have put down some cones as well. You say you at your worst... Would that involve, once you get in the car, presumably some effing and jeffing?
There's a bit of that. They've closed the roads by the school, so we're not officially allowed to drive. Yesterday, we actually did walk it. This morning, I drove...
And we're not interested in this morning.
Okay.
What are you doing today is not what this is about.
All right, then. Yesterday, I was trying to make it fun, so I was racing my
son. Doesn't sound like it.
So I was racing my son, so he's now running, but he doesn't realise he's running.
Okay.
My daughter, who's a bit older, a bit more cynical, doesn't want to run, but I've negotiated with her. It's about a half a mile walk to the school, and I can say Tough Kid Activate 3 times, and if I say Tough Kid Activate, she's willing to run for 50 metres.
This image that you've dressed her like Kathy Freeman from Sydney 2000.
You're in the 1986 Admiral Welsh football team tracksuit, melting. The polyester is just sweating horribly underneath it.
I've grown a moustache.
Yeah. Just before you've left the house, just to be clear, like, at what point do you go from pants to, I mean, presuming you do.
Oh. Late on.
Eighth minute. We've... Currently, so far, there's been quite a consistent theme to clothes choice, which is generally, what can I see? That's sort of what we get.
Yeah, so 8:40 to 8:46 is the witching hour.
Yeah.
That's when the kids need to put their shoes on with no fuss, because otherwise we're snatching defeat. That's when I get dressed and brush their teeth. In that 6-minute period, it is frantic. Then we leave... And I tend to save the Tough Kid Activates for the last sort of 300 or 400 metres.
Famously, you only get 3 in a day, so you've got to be really careful with when you choose. Like the Crash Bandicoot boosts, you have to be very careful.
What I sometimes do is I try and kid my daughter into walking more quickly than she's comfortable with by saying, but we need to cross the road and it's clear now. I then get a sort of a little trot out of her, which is effective. She's effectively going a Tough Kid Activate pace, but I haven't said Tough Kid Activate. So I've still got those in my back pocket.
Crossing the M4 back and forth.
No, 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 no.
So you dump them off in the school then.
How's that go? Go well?
They were lining up. I got my son in at 8:57. That's a win. But then I've got to take my daughter onto her bit of the school, and she was in at about sort of 8:59 and 40 seconds. So they were sort of, they were lining up and they were filing in, but she wasn't technically late. She didn't have to go in through the office. So, you know, I'd done my bit. I then walked home.
Any chat with any of the other parents whatsoever?
No, like the SAS, Iranian Embassy, 1980, head down, go.
Okay, so you're home now. Okay, now the whole day is ahead of you. You're free, you're on your own. There's a world of opportunity there.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited for what happens next.
This is where the hard graft began.
Yep.
So I'm home by about 9:07, 9:08. Yeah. I have breakfast at this point because I've read an awful lot of articles in broadsheet newspapers in the health sections about the benefits of 12-hour fasting, so I have my porridge with chia seeds. Then I have chia seeds because I've read that they're healthy and I'm terrified of death.
Right.
Then have a coffee.
Rumour has reached me that you're quite a sort of buff, sort of Clark Kent, you know, you wouldn't expect it, but underneath. And I don't believe you can be, you don't do a lot of stand-up now, but I don't believe you can be a hench stand-up. I don't think it's a possible...
No, and that's why I had to come off the circuit. I was too physically attractive.
I remember the vote. I remember the day of the vote.
The audience just, as one, were like, no way.
No.
Not this guy.
The 12-hour fasting thing, and basically you're on The Guardian. It says, well done, you've read 58 articles this month about not dying. Yeah. Are you every day worried about death?
I think about it all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Not in a sad way.
No.
I just sort of think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. It sort of happened over the last couple of years or so. I don't know why. My sort of happy-go-lucky exterior hasn't changed. I just think about my choices. So I have the porridge then I had a cup of coffee and a glass of water, and then, Max, David, the podcasting begins.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Because there are quite a lot of them now in the...
There are so many.
Yesterday I saw another. You're doing another one.
With Colin Murray.
How the fuck are you going to find that? I mean, Colin doesn't do a job without doing a lot of the work. So I imagine you can phone that one in.
Oh, yeah. Colin's doing all the hard yards. The amount of tweets I got from people, rather than congratulating me on a new podcast with Colin Murray, I think he's an excellent broadcaster, just saying, wow, another podcast. I just wouldn't have seen that coming. That's incredible. So the podcasting begins... 9:30 to about 10:45, we break, then we go again.
Are they all the same podcast?
Actually, there's a little detail I'll come to in a second. So I would do a thing called the Social Distance Sports Bar, but yesterday...
Yes, it's an excellent podcast.
...were the two spin-offs for the Patreon. So we did our movie sort of club podcast where we critique a sports film. And then we did Hoffi Pod, which... So Hoffi is the Welsh word for like... And that is for all the clips that are non-sporting that we would like our viewers to watch. Now, this one, for work, I had to watch Peter Duncan clean the clock face of Big Ben in September 1980 for a feature on Blue Peter. And I became so enamoured by the Adidas tennis shoes he was wearing that I took a screenshot and tweeted and said, does anyone get me a positive ID on these trainers? I lost some time there with the responses. Right. It was a lost half hour.
Fair. I have been up Big Ben because I was the breakfast show reporter for BBC London. And so you did end up in... Basically, you could split London into places you've gone to because they're high up and places you've only gone to because somebody's been found under some concrete about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? That's sort of two. And no one... You never go to West London. But yes, climbed Big Ben once, but I climbed Nelson's Column once.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, because they were cleaning Nelson's Column of bird shit. And that is right in BBC London radio.
So you did a John Nooks.
Yeah, and not... I mean, how many people have been up there? That is like...
To the listeners, I mean, we've all seen this, the three of us, but I would imagine most people haven't. There is a YouTube clip of a British children's TV show called Blue Peter from the early 70s, where they send a presenter up to the man who's cleaning... this very, very high statue. But the ropes are literally just... There's ropes holding ladders onto a 300... And it's a windy day.
It's like an old-fashioned hemp bit of rope. And he is wearing flared trousers and platform shoes.
Which is actually the outfit you have to wear. I had put that on.
He's not wearing a harness. He's wearing a parka coat, like a snorkel parka coat. And the other insane thing that never gets mentioned, his cameraman with like a big 70s camera, also platform shoes and a big pair of like 20-inch bell-bottom flares.
So there's a part in the climbing of this where... Okay, so you've got a bunch of ladders lashed going up a straight cylindrical obelisk or whatever. But then there's an overhang bit.
So you
have a ladder that...
You suddenly become Mission Impossible.
The overhang is one of the maddest bits of television I've ever seen in my life.
He's in platforms.
Well, on the Peter Duncan, because everyone remembers... John Noakes from the 70s as being a maniac, and he was a maniac. Like, he does a bobsled and he's never done it before. He's going down the track at like, you know, 110 miles an hour or something daft. They must have changed it now, but with the Peter Duncan one, they just put a tiny little wooden slat and some crap carabiners and two bits of hemp rope, and they just go, yeah, sit on that, and then just sort of lower yourself down and then start cleaning Big Ben. At one point, like, the minute hand, like, sort of goes up his bum.
And that's the worst hand of the two.
Yeah.
You've got the other hand, really.
But he is wearing an absolutely rascal pair of trainers. So I became very enamoured with them. So I a quick message out on Twitter. Can anyone ID these trainers? Lost some time to the responses. The podcasting then began.
I mean, imagine if he'd become aroused when the minute hand went up his bum bum. It would be the most specific fetish. And suddenly from that point on, it was the only way he could get off.
Could he use any other, like, enormous timepiece? For example, could he go to Central Station? Would that be possible? Or would it have to be just be Big Ben?
Or he's going to, like, a National Trust property looking for a big grandfather clock.
Every time you open one, Peter Duncan is in there. Can I just say about Nelson, the thing you don't realise about Nelson's column until you're standing next to Nelson is he is absolutely fucking enormous. And, like,
is he?
People take that for granted, yeah. But when you're by his, like, I don't remember it like it was yesterday, but, like, I think I didn't get above his feet. Like, he's absolutely giant. But obviously, most of the time, you're quite far away from him.
So I live in Dublin, so I'm not completely familiar with these monuments, but this is a statue of Trevor Nelson, the former MTV and radio presenter, right?
It is. It's a statue of Trevor Nelson. And the interesting thing is every day at midday, it plays Warren G's Regulate. And then the whole of London just regulates itself at that time. And then we move on with our day. Anyway, so the first podcast is 9 to 11.30. We probably don't know. I think most people understand how a podcast is made. So that finishes at 11.30. And it is a very good one. I would recommend it
Thank
to everybody.
You.
What happens then, Ellis?
I was recording until about midday. And then at midday, I rang the organiser of a corporate event I'm doing to persuade him that I was the man for the job. And that...
oh, good.
And then to find out the details, because it's happening in a couple of weeks' time.
And how did that go? Did you impress them? Did you think you impressed them?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
I haven't been sort of cancelled or decommissioned from the event, so it's definitely happening.
Okay.
So I did that, and I don't do very many corporate events anymore, because I used to die on my ass every time. But this is football, so, I mean, it came to a head when I did the National Grower of the Year Awards and I was handing out prizes for, like, best turnip producer in the Southwest. 2009. And I had a sort of lack of authority that now mainly gets seen during the school run. I had completely lost the audience. The turnip table were listening.
Yeah.
But then as soon as I was moving on to Swedes, they were chatting amongst themselves.
And did you, so you get them up on stage and then maybe say a few words? Has it been a good year for green beans?
Yeah. Imagine doing that to the general hubbub of 400 people who are ignoring you. Yeah. So I don't do very many corporate events anymore.
Yeah. Alice, in that situation, is it like the Oscars, when they used to do all of the awards? So you would sense there'd be the, like, best model making in a short film or whatever.
Yes.
And people would be like, yeah, come on, get to best supporting actor or whatever.
Let's get to best picture. Come on.
Yeah.
I don't care who the best grip is. From what I remember, beetroot were very underrepresented during the event.
Because it tastes like fucking dirt.
But when they all went to the urinals together.
Oh, yes. Yeah, horrific.
Absolutely wild in there. I do like the idea that if you represent beetroot, you're only allowed to eat beetroot. That's sort of how this works.
What's wrong, babe? You haven't eaten your beetroot-based breakfast. It's just a bit same, isn't it?
Okay, so you've had that call. Where are we now? Midday?
It's around 12:30 now. And this is when the day starts getting fun, actually. So the podcast I'm doing with Colin Murray, I was sent an episode to listen to see if I had any thoughts on it. And I don't actually have very much of a critical faculty, so I listened to it the whole way through, no notes. Seems fine.
That's exactly me. David's incredibly professional, right? I'm just like, I do a lot of these. I just send it, and then it's just absolutely, it's gone to me. It's dead to me. I don't need to know.
So I was like, yeah, no notes. Then I got Colin's very thorough email, and I said, I actually agree with Colin's notes. I take that back.
You want to wait for Colin to go first, then you.
Yeah, Colin's notes was so thorough and I agreed with everyone having given it some thought. So I then sent a follow-up email saying, yeah, what he said about Mo Farah I think is spot on, actually.
In Irish schools, you actually learn podcast criticism is one of our major things. So since we were children, your children, you dropped them in today, in Ireland it would have been now. Although there needs to be some sort of narrative, but you can obscure that narrative. Just real inside the biz stuff like this that we just know.
But when you had like double podcasting after lunch.
Oh, Joe Rogan there going, I'm so glad I went to school in the Irish system. This is great. So, yeah, no notes, follow-up email. Actually, there are notes, but amazingly, I agree with Colin and everyone. Now then, very quick lunch.
Okay.
Because I'm doing the London to Brighton bike ride.
Oh.
So I was having a training cycle with my friend Dave, who's a teacher.
Wow. Weapons
of the afternoon off.
To the listeners, my ears have just shot up like a perky dog.
Okay, so before David gets into what it's now going to be 2.5 hours of cycling conversation. What did you have for lunch, Ellis?
Really depressing lunch. I had yogurt with raisins.
Oh, fuck.
Jeez. Then I had some almonds and some pistachios.
You'd shit breakfast for lunch.
Yeah, then I
had shit breakfast for breakfast as well. It's disastrous.
Then I had two slices of bread, which I couldn't be bothered to toast with some cheese.
Any butter or just bread, cheese?
No, bread and cheese. Then I had another coffee and then
what
I
cheese?
Had a raw carrot.
Oh. Wow, this is desperation.
What's the point in living to be 300 if this is what it's like?
But I was pushed for time because obviously the big bike ride. So Dave came down 1:45 to 2 p.m., checking tyre pressures, making sure that my gears had been charged.
What you go to? What number are you running on those tyres at the moment?
100.
A lot of the pros are riding at 80 these days.
Are they?
Yeah, but they're riding 30 mil tyre. Oh, Max is gone. Max,
no.
We've lost Max.
I have a lot of thoughts about pumping up bike tyres, but you guys carry on.
What I really want to know is what footwear are you riding? Because I got a lovely pair of shoes recently that are actually Adidas Sambas with a click in the bottom of them. Like they're hidden cycling shoes.
Look at Ellis's face.
They are absolute beauts. Yeah.
Could you send me a link for these?
I certainly can. Yeah.
We'll put a link in the description page on the podcast.
I don't clip in anymore because a friend of mine fell off and hurt himself and it scared me. So I've got sort of normal pedals.
Interesting.
Dave is desperately trying to get me to clip in for London to Brighton. But it's now become a psychological issue.
Just the watts. You're losing watts.
This is Dave's... It's like you were a fly on the wall, David.
Well, for research for this pod, he was. He actually followed you for the whole day.
We then had a very long discussion about gels. Because I don't think it's a far enough distance to start using gels.
Yeah.
Is this like gels to eat?
Yeah.
Right.
No, their hair.
We're going to look great.
It could be windy. I'm going quiff from London to Three Bridges. And then from Three Bridges onwards, I want it to flatten out.
So we did a little 20 miler. Had discussions about gels.
So the fear with gels is that if you overdo it, it can shoot out the old emergency poop chute.
That's my issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's far enough to warrant, so I think I'm going to stick to real food.
Also, for you, Ellis, a gel sounds a little bit too interesting food-wise. Could have some flavour in there. We don't want that.
Yeah. So Dave came down at 20. I'm absolutely fascinated that the pros are cycling at 80. That's really interesting. And I'm going to have to come back to this on a different sports podcast.
20 miles. How long did that take?
It was, I think we did 21 and it was just under an hour and a half.
That's not bad.
It was all right, yeah.
Yeah, that's about Tour de France average speed. However, in the Tour de France, they are going up enormous mountains.
Yes,
and I dare say you maybe weren't.
Our course was very flat. Yeah, so yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I got back at about 3:30.
Yeah.
At this point, what do I do? I've got a new phone. I add a debit card to my Apple wallet. That takes longer than I think. Check Twitter. More tweets about Duncan's trainers. Half an hour gets lost.
Your children just standing at the school gates, looking up and down the road as their father is at home checking obscure trainer know-how.
So that got done. Then realised that we don't have... Well, we do have it, but the terms are coming to an end. I needed to renew the building's insurance for the house. I'm straight on the phone. That actually took about an hour, incredibly.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, so I was on the phone between about 4 and 5. Then, boringly, some general admin to do with gigs, etc.
Oh, I'd like some details about this.
I said yes to a TV show and I offered them some dates. I sent an invoice for something. I then emailed my accountant about a VAT thing I don't understand. This took me up to about 5:40, at which point I've got to go and pick up the children from the childminder. Some warning lights came on the dashboard.
Oh,
I took a photo of them and thought, I need to deal with this at another point.
Which one? Is it engine overheating?
It was something to do with the ABS.
Oh, wow. Irritable bowel.
A one that just looked like a car skidding. Which I've never seen before.
That's the shit driving light.
Yeah.
Warning, stop driving really badly.
Why are you driving like this? So when it was safe to do so, I took a photo of the warning light and thought, I need to find out what these mean.
Like, there was a reason they're warning lights.
Yeah.
And if you were to read the little book, there's no way it would say, if this red light is flashing, take a photo of it. And in the next few weeks...
We're at the amber stage rather than the red stage. So I think it's going to be okay-ish. Anyway, for my tea, I had my heart set on a kind of pasta dish that is known in our house as Antuna. So it was invented by our friend Anne.
Ah, Anne Tuna. She was on Toast of London, surely.
Hang on, is she a tuna or an actual person?
She's a person who cooks with tuna.
Right, that's all she does. Wow. To find a life, really to build a career, is sensational.
Her house stinks.
She married one of the beetroot guys and it's really not a happy... It's not a happy household. People keep turning down our dinner requests. Why is that? Anne, tell me. I thought they were friends. They can't make it for dinner.
Yeah, come on, beetroot bub. So I really had my heart set on Budgens, on Anne Tuna. So I took the children to Budgens and I bought the vast majority of the ingredients I needed, but they didn't have anchovies. I was like, okay, that's fine. So we drove down to the bottom of the road where there's a different Budgens. They didn't have anchovies there.
Hang on, is anchovies another person?
My two best friends, Anne Tuna and anchovies.
What's the veg in this? So it's a sort of a pasta de mer kind
of. Yeah, it's tuna, anchovies, butter beans, parsley, a lot of olive oil, a lot of black pepper, pasta, broccoli and spinach.
Wow.
So I really had my heart set on Anne Tuna. But the anchovies are a crucial part of it. They didn't have anchovies in the top Budgens. They didn't have anchovies in the bottom Budgens. I admitted defeat. And I got a Deliveroo.
Of what? Of KFC? Please tell me, after all this, you got popcorn chicken. You just got a kebab.
No, I had a Thai green curry.
Okay.
And an apple.
Nope, you're the first person to order an apple on Deliveroo.
You go right down the very bottom. It's like, are you sure you don't want some duck rolls with that? And you just keep scrolling across, eventually various pictures of fruit.
Pink lady, please. So,
your kids don't want Thai, though.
No, they've already eaten.
Okay.
But my son is very hungry, so I made him some pasta and cheese, so he had that.
Did you make their dinner?
We yesterday, they had the dinner at the childminder's house. But, so they'd already eaten. So he had some pasta and cheese.
God, you can get a childminder who makes... That is amazing. I need one of, definitely need one of those.
On the days they go there, I pick them up at 6 and then they've had their tea there.
Amazing.
Wow. They're like, could we push it a little bit later? He's just going to tell us we're snatching defeat from the jaws of victory again.
So then I emptied the cat litter, which was quite sort of harrowing.
How often do you do that?
Sort of once a week, really, with...
Okay.
And then I go in and take poos out on a sort of daily basis. That's my job.
Okay.
Ellis, do you flush them? Do you put the cat poos individually down the regular loo?
No, do you do that?
I hate cats. Oh, I just think they're stupid.
Right, okay. No, I don't. I put them in little nappy bags, which is probably wrong.
Oh, well, and keep them or?
I throw them into next door's gardens. So. But I throw them at midnight, so they don't know it's me. It's great. It's a system that just works.
My friend was recently very unhappy because I had frozen some bread. You know, when you get a nice loaf, but you're going away, so cut it in half. But I put the other half, I'd frozen it in a dog poo bag that I happen to have. I mean, the bag doesn't know what it's for.
You're right.
Yeah.
There's not a court in the land that wouldn't accept that you were right. But I think that's weird. And I would find it hard to eat that bread. Yeah,
it's not a scented dog poo bag. It was just a bag that I put the bread into to freeze.
No, I think once it's in that bag, it essentially becomes... It takes on the properties of what should go in there,
yeah,
I believe.
Guys, every bag is a dog shit bag if you imagine the size of the shit.
No, I mean... Like, if I had, like, an Adidas hold all, I would think I could put a bit of dog shit in there. And my squash rackets. It's like when I look at a big cricket bag, I don't think, yeah, you can get loads of dog shit in that.
Alistair Cook's big coffin bag.
Big dog 20... shit bag.
It would be a tougher dog walk if that was the bag. I had to just unfurl.
Yeah, big cricket,
massive,
big gun and more cricket bag.
Novak Djokovic sits down at Wimbledon, and when he goes to take out the second racket after the first set, he has 6 little turds and he puts them in. The poor ball girl who's standing there, he's like, just can you deal with those for
me? But it's a great advantage for tennis players who also have dogs, have to take them on court.
And at his level, it's fine margins, isn't it?
On court 3. So they're playing and they're using the bag at the same time.
Yeah, I just feel if I had that sort of powerful forehand, I would simply hit the poo with it.
Top spin.
Yeah.
Be good for a drop shot is what you'd probably do, I imagine. What time is it now, Ellis? I've really lost track.
I would say now it's around 7-ish.
Right.
I taught my daughter how to play E minor and D on the guitar.
Wow.
Didn't take very long because she is picking up very quickly. And then the Welsh women were playing Ukraine in a Euros qualifier. So we had the discussion about whether we could all watch that as a family, a discussion that I lost because I lack authority. The children watched Bluey on the telly and I had that on an iPad as I did some sort of general cleaning and tidying.
Bluey is great. Bluey
is so good.
The best
It is
show.
So good.
Yeah. That's a lot of episodes. Did they do 90 minutes of Bluey?
They didn't do 90 minutes, but they certainly did a good hour of Bluey.
Great.
So they did an hour of Bluey whilst I watched the Welsh women play Ukraine.
Your daughter just playing that melancholy interval of E minor to D.
Yeah.
As Bluey and the other dogs canter around Brisbane. Brung, brung, brung.
So I then took a video of her playing E minor and D and texted it to Izzy because my daughter wanted us to do that to show how her guitar playing has improved. That was good. And then at about 8-ish, I got them in the bath, slightly later than I would have wanted them to. And so there was an awful lot of snatching defeat being said again. So I had some things to do downstairs and I was shouting up to Betty to wash her own hair because she's old enough to do that. And there was the general shouting of, you better be washing your hair up there. We're snatching defeat. We're snatching defeat. Just creating really nice vibes. Really good atmosphere.
Wow.
You better be putting conditioner in because your hair gets tangly. I can't hear you doing it. It's not a very noisy thing to listen to anyway. It's fine. Oh, I'm going to come up and check. We're snatching defeat. We're snatching defeat. So they're at the bath by about 8:15.
Do you think this might be the first ever episode of this podcast where social services move in, having heard it, that afterwards?
This is actually, we're paid by social services.
So then I got them at the bath. They had their milk, and then I got them sorted, read my son a few stories, because obviously my daughter can read to herself, and then they were in bed.
Whoa. What stories?
He had Pip and Posy and a squash and a squeeze. So he's into the whole sort of Julia Donaldson scene.
Yeah, that's a good scene.
And a book by an author that I haven't heard of before.
Ayn Rand.
And it... No. And it's a book about a fox who is being taught to hunt by his mum, but he's always eating human food. So we read that one at Equalize. Yeah. And I can't remember what it's called.
It would be difficult. Sorry, just... I mean, I don't want to take the side of the fox here, but if you did taste human food, which you should try sometime and not eat all these, you're definitely, when you're not foraging for your weird lunches, it would be difficult to then go back to just eating a dead bat in a forest.
Yeah, so he pinches a sandwich from a picnic, and then he pinches something else, and then he tries to eat a gosling, and then he gets chased by all the farmyard animals. And his mother has to step in to rescue him.
And she is like, "You're snatching defeat. Snatching defeat. Snatching defeat."
So then I put the children to bed. They were in bed at a reasonable time.
Well done. I mean, that was very stress-free. I mean, the main stressful part was you.
My daughter likes to read, so as long as she's given time to read, she's quite relaxed. And my son is very obedient, actually. The snatching defeat maxim seems to have worked with him.
Oh, no. Where's this going to go next?
He's probably just absolutely terrified, is what he is.
Yeah, he's a robot who can't think for himself. He'd be great in conscription. He just does what he says.
You just wait to the incredible novel he writes when he's 60. Just about what an awful upbringing he had.
Yeah.
This could work because when you become the Reform MP for Crystal Palace, I think bringing conscription in for five-year-olds is probably...
Just like something they would do.
It's like a big part of their manifesto. Yeah.
He's very obedient. Like when I get him dressed, he just stands in the living room and puts his arms up. So the pyjama top comes off.
Are you holding a gun, Ellis? Are you holding a gun?
T-shirt on. School jumper on. Pyjama bottoms down. Pants on. Trousers on. Socks, shoes. We're done. There is no debate. There can be no debate.
Wow. So they've, now it's just Ellis on his own.
Yeah. So I watched the end of Wales-Ukraine. I rang Izzy. We had a chat about her day because she's filming. She's back today.
The question here, Max, is she really filming? It's this filming that's it's in its fourth year now. Yeah, no, don't think I'm going to make... Hopefully in this winter, I'll be able to visit maybe just for a few minutes.
Yeah, and they're going to release them all at once. It's all going to drop at once. And that's 2,000 episodes. No, it hasn't got a title. They're going to decide the title the very last minute. And the cast, never heard of them. Yeah, and you won't have heard of them, actually.
And can you send me some money?
So, conversation with Izzy. I asked her how her day was. She was very vague. Well, how's the program?
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, no.
Then it's now sort of about 10-ish, I think. I played piano for about 1/4 hour.
Oh, what did you play?
I played Hey Jude by the Beatles.
Oh, nice.
You can play it once in that time, can't you?
It's 7.5 minutes long. Yeah, there was a sort of, there was a few scales, and then I played it once, and I thought, yeah, that's me done.
Because it's hard, do the kids stay asleep when you're on the na-na-na bits? Because that gets noisy.
I can turn the volume down because it's a keyboard. So anyway, so I did that for about 1/4 an hour. It's about 10:30.
Did you ever write a hit, Alice? Did you ever, we mentioned this with Nish, and he just likes to play Bob Dylan tunes. But sometimes at this time of the evening, if I sit down at the piano, I think I've written an absolute whopper of a hit.
I do that on the guitar. I'm not a good enough pianist to do that on the piano. So on the piano, I tend to just play songs that I've learnt, but I'm not quite good enough to write. Whereas on the guitar...
You are good enough to write. hit after hit after hit.
I think to myself, oh my God, I'm Graham Coxon. This is absolute, this is amazing. I'm Johnny Greenwood. I'm Johnny Marr. I'm all the grits in one amazing guitarist.
Yeah. I've got a whole album of songs, but I can't release them because, as I said on another podcast, because of Nick Knowles and An Eye for an Eye. And once I've seen that on YouTube.
Ellis, Max got a record deal.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Amazing. My dream for years was for my 40th birthday, and I didn't do it because it was right in the middle of lockdown. I had this dream that I was going to take four or five friends of mine who were good musicians, and we were going to go to California, and I was going to spend money to make this great long-lost psychedelic record.
Amazing.
And I just had this image that it was going to be like 1969. We're going to sort of drink red wine and record during the day and then just like have fun in the evening. And I would eat chia seeds and bread and cheese.
Wow. Famously, that's what the birds were eating when they were 8 miles high.
And I told my friend Jim this and he said, yeah. However, just think about how shit the album would be. He pierced that bubble. He was like, it would be crap. It would be so crap.
It's really hard to say. I'm just trying to think if I said to Jay, I'm just going to California for a couple of months to write my album. And she'd be like, is that the best use of our time?
And when I was 40, my son was 9 months old and didn't sleep. It would have been an absolutely mad move on my part. It's now just a nice thing I imagine. It's now got to about 11 o'clock and I thought I'll put the kids' uniforms out for tomorrow morning.
Oh.
At which point I've realised my son doesn't have pants or socks and my daughter doesn't have a pair of trousers. So I've got to do a quick wash. I am so disappointed at this. I lie on my bed for 40 minutes going, you're really going to regret leaving it this late. You idiot.
Did you do anything else? Or did you just literally lie there going, this is such a waste of my time?
I was lying there going, you fucking idiot. You're now going to go to bed so late.
Let's run the numbers on this, though. They're only going to need a 20-minute wash. They're going to need whatever the quick wash setting is.
Yeah, the quick wash is 30 minutes.
Yeah, and then will they dry overnight if you just to put them
in? They will
in
dry overnight. Yeah,
that's fine then. That's only added another 20 minutes. I thought you were going to say there was only an eco setting on your washing machine.
No. I just couldn't be bothered to do it. So I was lying on my bed thinking, you idiot.
Yes, you snatched defeat here. Snatching defeat.
What?
You snatched defeat the whole day.
Again, you idiot. The one thing you're desperate for your children not to do.
And you have had all day at home to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So between 11 and 11.41, there was the berating. Then 11.41, I thought, this is ridiculous. So I got up and I put the quick wash on. That was done by about 20 past 12.
Ooh, you're cutting it really fine now if you want this 7 hours. If this cycle is...
Yeah.
You've only got 21 minutes to get to sleep now.
Exactly, exactly.
This is like the Madonna Justin Timberlake song, only 4 minutes to save the world. But it's to do with cycling and it's 20 minutes.
Yeah, so I hung the wash out at about 20 past 12.
Oh,
I'd already brushed my teeth, so I thought, I'll go to bed. So then I thought, what gets me to sleep the most? I've got a book about the history of the left and the Labour Party. And the thing with this book, it's interesting enough for me to read a page, but boring enough for me to send me to sleep, so I can never read more than a page at a time.
Did they ask you to do a testimonial on the back of the book?
It is honestly... Like, I've talked to people and they take all sorts of supplements to help them sleep. This book, it is like a magic trick.
He's been reading it for 6 months. He's up to 1863.
It is absolutely extraordinary what this book does to me. So I'm calming myself down. I'm like, you've got the book. The book was in the attic. So I thought, I went and got the book. I hung the washer at about 20 past 12.
In the attic?
Oh, the attic's sort of been converted, so it was upstairs.
Oh, okay.
It's fine. So I went and got a...
You blew the dust. The emergency sleep book.
So I went and got the book and brushed my teeth as the washing was on. I hung it out. So it's now at about 25 past 12. It didn't take very long. And then I sat down. So I read a page of the book. I felt groggy because it's so dull. Lamp off, wallop, asleep.
Your Nye Bevan dreams for the whole night.
Yeah, according to my watch, 6 hours 42.
Ooh.
Wow. And now you're asleep.
I woke up at 6 or 7 because the cats were scratching at the door.
Whoa.
That's tomorrow's episode.
Yeah, but that was like, I lost 8 minutes there.
Okay.
I was very close to the big 7.
We failed to ask sort of a selection of sort of regular quick fire questions, but did you take any photos on your phone yesterday, Alice?
I don't think I did. Let me have a look.
Did you order any products? You know what I mean? At any point in the day?
Oh, obviously I took a photo of the warning lights on my car.
A screenshot of that guy's shoes.
The screenshot of the shoes. Also a screenshot of Peter Duncan at 70 because he's aging really well and I wanted to text my friend about it.
It's good.
A screenshot of a writing competition for young writers because my daughter will want to enter that. 2 photos of the shoes next to Big Ben. A picture of Peter Duncan drinking white wine on his 70th birthday. And the warning lights on my car. And a screenshot of my debit card when I was trying to add it to my Apple wallet. And yeah, I did that by mistake. So there we go. That's the debit card.
Yeah.
There are the warning lights.
What's up with the card? You don't know what those lights
don't
mean.
Don't know. No. Sort that out today. That's yeah. Peter Duncan aging beautifully.
God, he looks amazing.
He does look good, doesn't he?
He looks really good, yeah. You should go to a dietitian and go, how do I work backwards from this?
Yeah, and there are the trainers.
Oh. Do you think you had a good day? Do you look back now to think, oh, that was a good day?
Nothing went wrong. As in, drastically went wrong.
No.
I would say. The bike ride was really nice.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that. It was not the most exciting day of my life. I did an awful lot of personal admin, the house insurance, that got finished.
Well done on the debit card. That's a complicated operation.
Yeah, we went on holiday last week and my phone broke on morning one. So I've now got a new phone and I'm having to sort of reset all of that kind of stuff.
I feel in this podcast we're trying to certainly learn life lessons from
absolutely
leading CEOs such as yourself. But also, just to celebrate, these are not days that will be mentioned in the inevitable autobiography that you push onto us in your 70s.
When you're looking like Peter Duncan.
Yeah.
Life is what happens while you're trying to put a debit card on your phone.
That's
what John Lennon said.
Yeah.
I have no idea how he knew that that's what the future was going to be like.
If I'd done the uniforms earlier, the wash would have gone on earlier. I usually do the uniforms after they've gone to bed, straight away, or just before, actually. If I'd done that, I wouldn't have had the 41-minute berating session on the bed, which sounds like something else.
Really sinister fetish. I like to be dominated while reading about Harold Wilson, reading one page of Keir Hardie.
I like the small hand of Big Ben to go up my hoop. That's what I like.
So if I'd done that, I'd have been able to go to bed earlier. I'd be able to wake up earlier, and the morning in particular would be a more relaxed affair.
I mean, I'm not here to give advice, although I have various doctorates in a lot of things. Just don't be so hard on yourself. This was a great day.
It was. And eat more.
You're doing great. You've read about the Labour Party. You've gone for a cycle. You've eaten. You're so regular. You know what I mean? I haven't ended one of these by saying this before, Max, but congratulations, Ellis. That was a great day.
That's very kind of you, David. Thank you.
Hey, well, Ellis, we've come to the end of your day, so we can't actually contractually and not allowed to talk to you anymore. Thanks for coming on, Ellis.
It's been my pleasure. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
So thank you, Ellis James. I believe we've hit the ground running there, David.
Oh, my goodness. Just to hear him say rascal trainers is a particularly joyous thing. I didn't know where that was going to go. I'll be honest with you, Max. I didn't know whether this was going to work as a concept. But I think I think we might have something. I think we might.
I mean, I think it's good we didn't start with the Nish Kumar episode, but I was very pleased that we ended up Nelson's column for quite a large part of this. That sounded like a really bad euphemism from blankety blank. But I think there's something here.
Yeah, in a way, I hope we stay up Nelson's column, a very high thing, looking down and learning about the world that surrounds us.
Absolutely.
Going forward.
Yeah. We would love to hear from you. We're not quite sure why yet, but we definitely would like to hear from you. And here is how. To get in touch with the show, you can email us at whatdidyoudoyesterdaypod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at yesterdaypod. And please subscribe and leave a review if you liked it on your preferred podcast platform. And if you didn't, please don't. And that's that. Episode 2 with Lou Sanders. I believe David is out next. I am excited to find out what she did yesterday. Thank you, David.
I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, that sounded a bit sarcastic.
I've really enjoyed... I have really enjoyed this. Look, Max, I'm doing I'm a new to podcasting. I'm not like you with 35 podcasts a week.
Thanks so much for listening. We appreciate it.
Thanks for listening.
See, what did I tell you? It's brilliant, isn't it? And there's plenty more episodes out right now featuring the likes of Sam Campbell, Rose Matafeo, Susie Ruffle, and loads more. And you can find them by searching for What Did You Do Yesterday wherever you're listening to this. Plus, you can find all my recommendations along with news, reviews, and much more on Podcast Rex at www.podcastrex.com. That's www.podcastrex.com.